gorgeous music today. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. I was just standing back there listening as they were playing, and I thought to myself, wow, here the season is upon us. How quickly it seems to come when you get a little bit older. When I was a kid, it took at least 15 months for it to come. I marked off every day. Daddy had an old fertilizer calendar that hung on the chimney in the kitchen. And I would mark off every day to Christmas. Last week, I think I just took the decorations down out the yard. To be a child again, to have the heart of a child. When you look into the eyes of a child and you see the light of his glory, the manifestation of his love, and the fulfillment of his promise. Think about that, church. Think about that. As we enter this Christmas season together, next Sunday, we will be looking at the promise of a Savior. The Sunday after, we will be looking at the peace that the Savior brings. And then the Sunday right before Christmas, we'll be looking at the awesome presence of the Savior. And then on the 27th, I'm hoping to have a special pulpit guest for you. That's mine and Miss Roma's 52nd wedding anniversary. So we are hoping to have a special pulpit guest. And some of you may know who that is. Hopefully he'll get in. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And you find Romans chapter 6, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to read through verse 12. But I would encourage you to read the entire chapter. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Reading out of the Old King James, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Back in verse 20 of chapter 5, Paul has just made a profound statement under the witness and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He reminded these believers that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Some use that verse of Scripture as a license to continue to live the lifestyle that was manifested in their life before they came to Christ. That is the farthest from the truth of what that verse means. And we'll see that today in this message. God forbid, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Know ye not that as many as us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and in that he liveth unto God. Now, The word reckon in verse 11 in the Old King James means put to your account. Put to your account. In other words, God, through Christ, has made a deposit into your life and my life. And that deposit is by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's kind of like I went by the bank. You would like for me to do this. And unbeknownst to you at the time, I just wrote a check because I just loved you. And I had the clerk at the bank deposit that to your account. So the word reckon means to understand that God has made a deposit into your life. The moment we trusted Christ. Likewise, reckon ye also selves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. May our Heavenly Father bless the reading of His Word. Thank you, and you may be seated. Salvation is the work of God in our behalf. It's the work of God in our behalf through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, accomplishing for us and in us that which we could not accomplish ourselves and that which we could not do ourselves. There's a big word that's used sometimes. You may hear somebody use this word, and it's the word justification, justify. Someone has said that it means just as if I had never sinned. And in essence, it does carry that definition. God looks at you and I when we come to Christ and when we turn from our sin and when we follow Him and believe His baptism, God clothes us in His righteousness and in His holiness and in His goodness. He makes a deposit of the Holy Spirit into our life and into our hearts. That deposit of the Holy Spirit is there that you and I might live the abundant life that Christ said in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief came but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so the word justification means that God puts to our account the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, according to the writer of Hebrews, who we know is the Holy Spirit, we think the human writer was the Apostle Paul, because there's much in the book of Hebrews that has Pauline characteristics to it. But the writer of Hebrews reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In fact, in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, it was God Himself that slew the animals and literally, in a sense, ripped the fig leaf aprons from their bodies and clothed them, listen carefully, and clothed them with those skins. Blood was shed. Innocent blood was shed. Baptists across the years have been referred to as the bloody Baptists. Well, so be it. Because we believe that Christ shed His blood and that without the shedding of blood, there is no way that you and I can be justified before God. You see, it was the blood of those innocent animals that pointed to the cross and said that one day God was going to fulfill His promise. And that's what we're going to be talking about next Sunday. How that God in the councils of eternity past, even before He created man in His image and His likeness, even before He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, He understood the necessity that man was going to need a Savior. He understood that in order to give man free will, that man was not going to choose that which was right. He understood that the tempter was going to tempt man and that man was going to yield to that temptation. So listen carefully. If being perfect would keep you from sinning, then Adam and Eve would have never sinned because they were created perfect. You see, we choose to sin. We choose to live in rebellion to God and His Word. We choose to walk according to the course of the world, the Apostle Paul says. We choose to live our lives as we desire to live our lives. God knew all of that. And so in the councils of eternity past, before He even created man, before He even breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, before He even became a living soul, before He even became accountable to God, God provided justification. Think about that this morning. Justification means that no matter what I have done, no matter how I've lived, no matter how I've walked contrary to the Word and to the will and to the wonder of God's majesty and God's holiness and God's love, no matter how I've lived, God in His infinite mercy will justify me because of what He did through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for Johnny Muller, that Johnny Muller could not do for himself. Put your name there. For God so loved Johnny Muller that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Johnny Muller would believe in Him, Johnny Muller would not perish, but Johnny Muller would have everlasting life. Put your name there. That's justification. Just as if I had never chosen to sin, just as if Adam and Eve had never chosen to sin, God did for them what they could not do for themselves. But then there's another word that we Baptists throw around sometimes, and it's called sanctification. You see, the work of justification is entirely God's work in my behalf. In doing that which I could not do for myself, in me and through me, for His great glory. But then there's sanctification. Sanctification is that continual process whereby we yield ourselves to the cleansing and the purifying work of the Holy Spirit now in our life, now that He has taken residence in my life, now that the promise of the Spirit has come, and now that I have reckoned myself to be dead in Christ. God, in His infinite love and mercy, makes a deposit of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now listen to me. God's not chintzy. God's not a giver that gives and takes back. When God made a deposit of the Holy Spirit, He deposited all of the Holy Spirit in your life. The moment that you trusted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the moment that you bowed your heart, the moment that you repented of your sins, the moment that you turned from the world and turned to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were baptized spiritually by the Holy Spirit of God. You were filled at that moment with the Holy Spirit of God. Why did God do that? Because God knew that this old nature would still hang around. God knew that this old man, God knew that this old man, even though he has been reckoned to be dead in Christ, God knew that even though there was a new man in this body, God knew and God understood that there was an old man that would raise his ugly head because the tempter would come. And the tempter would do everything he could to get you and I to walk once again as we used to walk, according to the course of the world, according to the desires of the flesh, according to the appetites of the heart. And so He placed within us the Holy Spirit of God. Why? To produce that righteousness within us that we cannot produce ourselves. You see, all of my righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah said. All of it. Not some. All of it. There's nothing that I can do. That's what Christmas is all about. As wonderful as everything else that takes place at Christmas is, and boy, do I love it. That's what Christmas is all about. It is God in Christ doing for you and I what we could not do for ourselves, and then depositing within us His living Spirit Himself. He came to take residence within us. Therefore, we are no longer slaves to sin, Paul says, but we are slaves to God's righteousness and God's holiness, being filled so that we may live out our lives. Those chains have been broken. Those shackles that once held us have been broken. You're looking at a pastor that fights every battle you fought and are fighting. You're looking at a pastor that deals with the flesh every day that I live. I can't close my eyes. I have to drive. You all don't want me to drive blind, do you? I do every now and then like to watch the news to kind of keep up with current events and what's going on in the world. And my goodness, all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes something on television. And Roma and I have gotten to the point anymore. Either she tells me, I tell her, cut it off, change the channel. You see, we're so inundated with the world and what the world is putting in our face literally today. We're so inundated by that. But Paul says we are no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to God and His righteousness. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is living within us to sanctify us. That word sanctify means to give us a bath, to literally just cleanse us and make us pure and holy and righteous. Do you understand what happens the moment that you confess your sins? Do you understand that even though God saved you in Christ Jesus, and even though He forgave you for rejecting His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, do you understand that this old man is going to still raise his ugly head? You're going to think the wrong thing. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong thing. Tim and I left the house this morning, and we were coming down Shore Road, and this car just didn't even stop, just right out in front of me. And I said, well, hello there. You want some of the road too? You know, for a moment there, I went through the flesh. Well, those that ride with me know that I have a problem in that area in my life. Mine now. It'll come back and bite you. Right when you think you have it conquered, sometimes it'll raise its ugly head. That's what sanctification is all about. And right in that moment, right then, you can breathe that prayer and you can say, God, forgive me. I should not have thought that. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. God, would you, by the Spirit, would you cleanse me right now? Will you set me free? And wow, you're justified again immediately. And you're sanctified and cleansed. And God's righteousness begins to be lived out in your life and in your heart. My friend, if you're a saved, blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again child of God, you're either in a battle or you're already whipped. Hello? You're either in a battle with that old flesh every day you live. Listen to me. Or either you're dead. The only person that's not having a struggle with the flesh is a person that is dead. That's why Paul uses the analogy that we must die to self. We must die to sin because it will raise its ugly head. Therefore, we are no longer slaves to sin, but to God's righteousness being filled in our lives and lived out in our lives. I wrote this statement down. I thought it was pretty good. Any justification that does not lead to sanctification is a sham. Think about that this morning. If God, by His grace and by His love and by His mercy, justified you and I through the cross and the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and did for us that which we could not do for ourselves, in us and for us, if God did that for us, and He did, then He also fulfilled His promise of the Holy Spirit and deposited the Holy Spirit to live in you. So we make a choice, amen? We make a choice to either give in and yield to that old carnal nature and the world and the flesh and the devil, or we make a choice to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, we're sanctified. Because listen to me, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit, God is a spirit, John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. So then we are yielding to God and his will and his purpose and his plan for our lives. And folks, listen to me. He has never made a mistake and never will make a mistake. And he's not going to make a mistake in your life. So therefore, he's going to call to your remembrance the promises that the Father has made in our behalf to us. Any sanctification not founded upon his justification. You remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Jesus turned to the hearers of that day and he said, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." Do you understand this morning that's an impossibility? A human being cannot achieve that. Only by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life is that possible. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. I say this with all the reservation and the love that's in my heart, but sometimes Baptists are scared of the Holy Spirit because they're scared what the Holy Spirit may do through them. Because we've witnessed some things that is just contrary to the Word of God that these individuals have said, well, the Holy Spirit led me to do this or led me to say this or the Holy Spirit directed me in this manner, and we know that it is contrary to the Word of God. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit will never, ever lead you to do anything that is contrary to the will of God, which is his Word. Never. He always has your best interests at heart. Therefore, he's going to always lead you to say, to think, to do the right things. Why? Because he's God and he cannot sin. He cannot. He's God. Therefore, we look this morning quickly at this text. And we see two things, verses 1 through 14 and then verses 15 through 19. And I realize I didn't read those for the brevity of time, but we'll take a minute or two and cover them. Sanctification and sin. We have a choice. There's two dominions. The word dominion means power, a stronghold. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you have a stronghold in your life right now? There's an area in your life that the enemy knows. There's an area in your life where he tries, even though that old man is dead, and he is. That's what the scripture says. The enemy will try to resurrect that stronghold in your life. Recognize it for what it is. Understand and recognize it for what it is. It's sin. It's sin in the flesh. It's sin manifesting itself in the flesh. It's you and I walking according to the course of the world, which Paul says is a contradiction. We are supposed to be walking according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. So there are two dominions. Which one are you going to surrender to? Dominion is that power, that stronghold in your life. Is the Holy Spirit the stronghold, or is that area of sin the stronghold? Can I just be transparent with you a minute this morning? Please don't anybody get their feelings hurt. Let me talk about myself for just a minute. I know it's hard for you all to believe, but I used to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day and 5 wood-tip cigars. I'm ashamed to tell you that. And I was a believer. And I knew I was saved. And I knew I had been blood washed and blood bought and born again. And I was convicted. Every time I put a cigarette in my mouth, I was convicted. And I still did it. Let not sin have dominion in your life or power over you. You see, we have a choice. It's sanctification. What do we give into? Sanctification by the Spirit or sin by the flesh. Wow. That's what we just witnessed in that baptismal pool. You see, baptism is a picture of my death to the old way of life, my burial of the old way of life, and my resurrection to walk in the new life that I found in Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that I'm going to live the perfect life? Absolutely not. I don't know but one person that was perfect, and his name is Jesus Christ, and they crucified him. But listen to me. God has made it possible that we can choose one or the other and live victoriously through sanctification. He made the deposit of the Holy Spirit in my life. I told Roma the last time that I'd quit, and she said, "I don't want to ever hear that again, Johnny." And actually, it made me a little angry. It made me just a little angry. For my wife to say that to me, it made me just a little angry. Then all of a sudden I realized, she's right. She's right. And then I said, I got a little angry again. I said, "Oh girl, I'm going to prove something to you. I'm my own man. I can do it." Time I got out of her sight. And I used to wonder how she knew. Finally, one day she told me, she said, "When I kiss you, I smell it in your hair. I smell it on your breath." And I said, "God, you've got to do something in my life." Now listen to me, listen to me. I was called to preach and knew I was called to preach, but would not surrender to the gospel to preach the gospel because I knew I did not need that habit in my life. And Satan used it to help me run from that call. I went to bed that night and I said, "God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me, God. You've got to help me. God, I'm powerless over this. It has control over me. It may be temper with you. It may be lust. It may be something else with you. But listen to me. That was a stronghold in my life. It was a dominion. It was the year her daddy died, 1970. The next morning I got up, I packed my lunchbox. Guess what I put in my lunchbox? Yeah, I forgot about my prayer. But I got to work and I got a cup of coffee and I sat down at my desk and wow, there's nothing better than a good old long pell-mell menthol about that long and a good cool cup of warm coffee. Amen? I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. Sanctification. And I scrubbed it out because it tasted horrible. And I pulled the next one out and I scrubbed it out. It tasted right. And then the next one, I scrubbed it out. And finally God said, "Johnny, I did what you asked me to do. I delivered you." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And I said, "God, you got to help me. I won't make it through the day today." And so 1 hour at a time, I lived 1 hour at a time that whole day at work. And when I went and picked up Roma, we rode together. And I said, "Baby, you got to drive home." And I went to sleep. I didn't want to think about it because I knew that God had delivered me, but I also knew that all I had to do was put it back. You see, God by His will not violate my will and your will. Well, sanctification and sin. The next one is sanctification and slavery. Two destinies. It's your choice. Two destinies. Sanctification or slavery. When you leave here today, listen to me. Listen to me. You and I make a choice. We make a decision to continue to live as a slave or to live the sanctified life. Think about it. Now, I know you think, Pastor Johnny, why'd you bring a message like this right after Thanksgiving and going into Christmas season? I didn't plan it. But we were having baptism today, and it perfectly pictures what Christ has done for you and I. He has delivered us. He has delivered us, listen to me, delivered us from the power of sin. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin. And one day, church, he's coming back, hallelujah, to deliver us from the presence of sin. I want you to think about that this morning. Two destinies. I can either, listen to me, you can go through this Christmas season and miss it. You can go through this Christmas season serving self. That's what slavery is. Now, I gained 2 pounds and 4 ounces over Thanksgiving. I served myself a lot. But Joni's fudge and Joni's pound cake is irresistible. And Daddy's daddy and Joni's daughter. So I sat at the table the other night, and I finally, Roma said, you want me to take that? I said, no. It was a box of fudge. And it was little tiny pieces. So little tiny pieces don't hurt much, see. My, that stuff's good. So finally I sat there with my fork. I know exactly how many pieces I ate, Nicole. I ate 18 pieces. Look at it. Finally, I said, Roma, take this fudge. You're right, Kathy. That's where the 2 pounds and 4 ounces. So I let my belt out. I'm trying to help you all to see. I'm trying to help you to understand. You see, God's choice for us is sanctification. He wants to set us free from everything that enslaves us. He wants us to have the victory. Listen to me, not later, but now. He wants you to live the Spirit-filled and abundant life now. It's not something we are waiting on. It's something that He has done for us now. Therefore, the old man is dead. No disrespect, but a dead person can't do anything. So you have to die to those things that the enemy constantly brings back before you and tempts you with. And you have to ask God by the power of the Holy Spirit to sanctify you, to cleanse you. Let's pray.